Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from your preachers around the world. Today, from Rome, we hear from Father Vivian Boland, a friar of the Irish province who is assistant to the Master of the Order. Father Vivian's preaching is entitled The Awe-Inspiring Rites of Initiation.
The reading is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answering them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. G.K. Chesterton says somewhere that the only Christian doctrine that needs no argument in support of it is the doctrine of original sin. Walk down any street, he says, and you will see the consequences of that sin. I suppose he means pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, sloth, and perhaps a few more besides, injustice, prejudice, selfishness, and so on. During the Christmas holiday, I had the joy of baptizing my newest grandniece, and some of the prayers in the rite can seem strange when baptizing an infant. Just after her baptism, for example, I was talking to her as if she was already an adult. Of course, the rite we have is basically for the baptism of adults, adapted now for baptizing infants, but some of the adult bits remain. Another moment that can feel strange is the first anointing with the oil of catechumens and the prayer of exorcism that accompanies it. Why start talking to this pure, innocent, perfect, thank God, little bundle of joy about nasty things like evil, sin, death, and the devil? Is it all just part of an outdated mythology, a story to make a point, yes, but really not a subject to bring up in the wonderful first weeks and months of a child's life. At the same time, looking round the family circle, many of whom I've baptized, and knowing something of each one's struggle and difficulties, as well as my own, it seems only right that the darker realities in human experience should also be acknowledged, if only because they are inevitable. In fact, it is the point of baptism, is it not, which is not just a christening and naming ceremony. Baptism means incorporating the child into Christ, making her to be a member of his body. As St. Paul puts it, dying sacramentally with Christ in the waters of baptism in order to rise with him to eternal life. It is a lot to place on the shoulders of a newborn baby. It is a lot to share with a newborn baby, but we do it on the strength of our own conviction and experience of human life and of what the Christian faith illuminates and establishes in us for that life. The Christmas liturgical season ends with the baby born at Bethlehem being baptized by John in the River Jordan. Finally, John's moment has come when he hands over the mission to the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit and in fire. It is the moment in which Jesus' solidarity with the rest of the human family is revealed. Though we believe him to be without sin, he stands with sinners and shows that he is at one with us, even in our sin and for our salvation. The same moment reveals Jesus' solidarity with his eternal family, the Spirit who appears as a dove, the Father whose voice he hears from the open heavens. So it is also a kind of marriage when two families are united, the human family wonderful and fragile, and the heavenly family eternal and ever-creating. The Church's liturgical tradition links the baptism of the Lord with his Epiphany, the revelation that Jesus is Saviour of all people, and with the wedding feast of Cana, the first sign given by Jesus of the communion he had come to establish between God and human beings. So, on a mild December day, we gathered in a church outside Dublin and celebrated what St. John Chrysostom liked to call the awe-inspiring rites of initiation. It seems like a big title for a simple ceremony, but so it is, awe-inspiring when we delve a bit into its history and its meaning. Awe-inspiring when we remember that through this sacrament, my grandniece received the greatest of graces, a solidarity with and even identification with Christ, the pledge of his presence with her forever, the right to participate in the worship of the Church, which is the prayer and sacrifice of Christ himself, and strength to persevere in the gift of life she has received, even when the day of testing comes. Walk down any street, said Chesterton, and you will see original sin. Our prayer today, as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, is that as we walk the roads and streets of our lives, we will remember always Jesus' solidarity with us, that he walks with us, and remember also the gifts he gives us for building with him the communion of love, justice, joy, and peace which he has initiated. ¶¶